Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem. I'm Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Ches. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the machlokes between Rabba and Rav Chisda, whether one who bakes on Yantiv or Chol is Chayv Malkus, was based on Hoyel. Rabba holds that he's not Chayv since visitors might arrive that he can serve the food to on Yantiv, whereas Rav Chisda holds that he's Chayv since he doesn't hold of Hoyel. So on this Daf, Rami Bar Chama said that this machlokes is the same as the one between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah regarding separating Challah from Tamidah and Pesach. Rabbi Yezer holds, like Rabba, that we apply oil, and he may therefore bake the loaves, since he could separate challah from each loaf separately. Rabbi Yeshua holds, like Rav Chisda, that we do not apply oil, and therefore he forbids the baking of all the loaves on Yantiv. So Rav Papa said that perhaps Rabbi Yezer applies oil only in the Mishnah's case, because at the time that the loaves are put into the oven, each and every one is fit for the baker himself. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yezer may not hold of oil, but is permitting it, because at the time of baking, we do not know which loaf will become challah. He may, however, forbid it in the case of baking on Yantiv or Chol, since it's not fit for himself, since he finishes Yantiv meals, and he doesn't apply oil since he has not invited guests and has no reason to anticipate their arrival. The Gemara continues with showing that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't necessarily agree with Rav Chisda. Point number two, Rav Yosef said that a woman in his area would customarily bake no more than a kapizo, which is 3/4 of a kav at one time. Even though Rav permitted baking as much as 1 1/4 kavim, they were strict on themselves to reduce the risk of chimutz. Abai said that this chumra results in a kula, in that they will be pater from hafrashas challah, from separating challah. And Rav Yosef responded that these women act according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, "Harod benosan lasal hasal mitzarfan lachallah." When one removes baked loaves from an oven and puts them in a basket, the basket combines them in regard to challah. The Gemara brings a related brisa that states, that in addition to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Tanu mitzarfan," the oven combines them, even if they're not then put in a basket. And Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Kikro shel babel shenoshka zo mizo mitzarfos." Babylonian loaves, which bite one another, which means that they stick to each other, so when they're pulled apart, a piece of one remains to the other, that they combine. And point number three, the second mission in the Daf states, Siyur yisarif v'ochol pater siyur, which Rashi says is incompletely leavened dough, must be burned, but one who eats it is pater from karis or malchus. Siduk yisarif v'ochol chayv karis. Siduk, which is dough that is past the siyur stage and has cracks in it as a result of chimutz, must be burned, and one who eats it is chayv karis. Rav Yudah says siyur is kakarne chogavim, dough that has developed cracks like the antennae of locusts, and siduk is where the cracks interlace with one another. The Chachamim hold that any dough with cracks is siduk, and siyur is koshek sifu ka'adam she'amdus arusav, any dough whose surface has turned pale like the face of a person whose hair stands on end because of fright. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the machlokes between Rabba and Rav Chisda, whether one who bakes on Yantiv or Chol is chayv malkus, was based on Hoyel. Rabba holds that he's not chayv since visitors might arrive that he can serve the food to on Yantiv, whereas Rav Chisda holds that he's chayv since he doesn't hold of Hoyel. So on this Daf, Rami Bar Chama said that this machlokes is the same as the one between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah regarding separating challah from Tamidah and Pesach. Rabbi Yezer holds, like Rabba, that we apply Hoyel, and he may therefore bake the loaves, since he could separate challah from each loaf separately. Rabbi Yeshua holds, like Rav Chisda, that we do not apply oil, and therefore he forbids the baking of all the loaves on Yantiv. So Rav Papa said that perhaps Rabbi Yezer applies oil only in the Mishnah's case, because at the time that the loaves are put into the oven, each and every one is fit for the baker himself. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yezer may not hold of oil, but is permitting it, because at the time of baking, we do not know which loaf will become challah. He may, however, forbid it in the case of baking on Yantiv or Chol, since it's not fit for himself, since he finishes Yantiv meals, and he doesn't apply oil, since he has not invited guests, and has no reason to anticipate their arrival. The Gemara continues with showing that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't necessarily agree with Rav Chisda. Point number two, Rav Yosef said that a woman in his area would customarily bake no more than a kapizo, which is 3/4 of a kav at one time. Even though Rav permitted baking as much as 1 1/4 kavim, they were strict on themselves to reduce the risk of chimutz. Abai said that this chumra results in a kula, in that they will be pater from hafrashas challah, from separating challah. And Rav Yosef responded that these women act according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, "Harod benosan lasal hasal mitzarfan lachallah." When one removes baked loaves from an oven and puts them in a basket, the basket combines them in regard to challah. The Gemara brings a related brisa that states, in addition to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Tanu mitzarfan," the oven combines them, even if they're not then put in a basket. And Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Kikro shel babel shenoshka zo mizo mitzarfos." Babylonian loaves, which bite one another, which means that they stick to each other, so when they're pulled apart, a piece of one remains to the other, that they combine. And point number three, the second mission in the Daf states, Siyur yisarif v'ochol pater siyur, which Rashi says is incompletely leavened dough, must be burned, but but one who eats it is patur from karis or malchus. Sidak yisarv va'ochel chayv karis. Sidak, which is dough that is past the sear stage and has cracks in it as a result of chimutz, must be burned, and one who eats it is chayv karis. Rav Yudah says sear is kakarne chogavim, dough that has developed cracks like the antennae of locusts, and sidak is where the cracks interlace with one another. The Chachamim hold that any dough with cracks is siduk. And sira is koshek sifu ka'adam sha'amdus arasav, any dough whose surface has turned pale like the face of a person whose hair stands on end because of fright. Alright, so now we go to our simon for daf mem ches, and our standard simon is brainiacs. Brainiacs from moach, brain. So here goes. While some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for Arfasha's challah, others observed dough on a table and carefully mapped out the various crack formations. Once again, in slow motion. While some brainiacs, that must be more on Duff Memches. While some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive, which reminds us, the Eliezer who permits baking the loaves of Tamei dough on Pesach before being mafrish challah doesn't necessarily hold of hoyo, like Rabba, who holds that one is not chayav for baking on Yantav for chol because guests might arrive. Rapapa explains that in Rebbe Lezer's case, at the time of baking the loaves, each one is fit to be eaten by the baker himself. However, he might forbid baking on Yantav for a weekday use, since it's not fit for himself since he's already finished his Yantav meals, and he doesn't apply hoyo since he has not invited guests and has no reason to anticipate their arrival. So, while some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive, to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for our Arfasha's challah, which reminds us, Rabbi Ezra says, "Harodim enosim l'sal, hatsal masarfen l'challah." When one removes baked loaves from an oven and puts them in a basket, the basket combines them in regard to challah. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Tanu masarfen." The oven combines them, even if they're not then put in a basket. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Kikro shel babu shel noshko zob and zob mitzarfos." Babylonian loaves which bite one another, which means that they stick to each other. So when pulled apart, a piece of one remains to the other, that they combine. So while some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for Arfasha's challah, others observed dough on a table and carefully mapped out the various crack formations. Which reminds us, seer, which Rashi says is complete leavened dough, must be burned, but one who eats it is patur from karis and malchus. Siduk, which is dough that is past the seer stage and has cracks in it as a result of chimutz, must be burned, and one who eats it is chayv karis. Rav Yudah says seer is dough that has developed cracks like karne chogavim, like the antennae of locusts, and siduk is where the cracks interlace with one another. The Chachamim hold that any dough with cracks is siduk, and seer is any dough whose surface has turned pale, like the face of a person whose hair stands on end because of fright. So once again, while some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for Arfasha's challah, others observed dough on a table and carefully mapped out the various crack formations. All right, so now it's time to go to our four-block back Chazara. Daf Mem Dalet. So the simmer Daf Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. The Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud. Mud. That must be one Daf Mem Dalet. The Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Koisurin Shematorah ain't heter mitzvah but iser in the case of all forbidden substances. Mention the Torah, a permitted substance does not combine with a forbidden substance to make up the minimum shear to be chayav for, except for Isuri Nazir, because the Torah says the word Mishra. So Rashi explained that this word teaches that a Nazir is prohibited for eating bread that has been soaked in wine. Now, since it's obvious that if the bread contained a full kazais of wine, the bread would be forbidden, then it must be the Torah is referring to a case where the bread contains less than a kazais of wine. And the kazais shear to be chayav was only attained by combining the forbidden wine and permitted bread. So the Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which gave it a muddy taste, which reminds us, the Gemara questions using the word mishras to teach heter mitzvah v'iser for a nazir, based on a braisa that teaches mishras liten tam ke'ikr. The word mishras comes to make flavor equivalent to substance, that if a nazir soaked grapes in water, and the water subsequently has the flavor of wine, the nazir is chayav for drinking this water. And from here we can extrapolate to all prohibitions in the Torah. And the Gemara answers that the braisa reflects the view of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan goes according to Akiva, who disagreed with the Rabbanan and uses Mishras to teach Heter Mitzarf Iser for the Nazir. So the Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which gave it a muddy taste, tossed it into Nachri's pot, which completely changed the flavor. Which reminds us, the Gemara initially suggested that Rabbi Akiva's source for Tamkikr was from Basar B'chal, meat and milk, but the Torah prohibits the mere flavor of milk that is absorbed in the meat, but then rejects this because Bas Bechavet has an anomaly in that if one soaks meat and milk even for an entire day, it's permitted, but if one cooks it in the milk, it's prohibited. So you can't apply it to other Yisurim. Instead, the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva learns Tamke Iker from Gilui Nachrim, purging the Kiyum of Nachrim, in that the emissions impart mere flavor and are forbidden. So too with regard to other forbidden foods, flavor is forbidden, just like the substance. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. Monopoly. So here goes. The Daf Yomi Monopoly game. Monopoly? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Hei. Monopoly. The Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with another piece to avoid landing on the grape, skins, and seed places. Which reminds us, Rav Kana told Rav Ashi that we learn from the Pasuk in the Parsha of Nazir that prohibits eating anything made of the grapevine from the seeds of the skins, that Isra V'Isra B'Zer Chazet, that forbidden food combines with the forbidden food even when they're consumed one after the other. Whereas V'Isra V'Heter B'Basachas, the forbidden and permitted foods combine only when they're eaten simultaneously. So the Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with another piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, while the player at the bagel piece raced to get enough dough to fill in the crack on the kneading bowl, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Batzek Shebasit Kehel Reva, leavened dough that's lodged in the cracks of a kneading bowl. If there's a kazayas of dough in one place, Chayav Levar, one must dispose of it. And if there's not, Batel Mi'luto, it's null due to its smallness. And the Gemara brings two versions of what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishmur regarding where the crack in the bowl was, whether it was in the upper part, where it's not made to hold water, or at the base where it is, and the implications in the Lacha for each version. So the Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with another piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, while the player with the bagel piece raced to get enough dough to fill in the crack on the kneading bowl before it became moldy. Which reminds us, a pasha ibsha, a loaf that has become moldy and has become inedible to a person, but a dog is still able to eat it as it hasn't spoiled completely, is subject to tuma as food the size of a kabeitza, v'nisref isma tmeya bepesach, and if it's truma, it may be burned even though that it is tahor, together with food which is tamei on Erev Pesach. Rashi explains that as long as a dog can eat it, it doesn't lose its status of food. And even Rabbi Yossi on Daf Yadod, who holds that one cannot burn tahor truma with tamei truma, would agree here that since it's not fit for humans, one can burn it with the tamei. In the name of Rabbi Nassan, however, they said it's not subject to tuma as food. He holds that food not fit for human consumption does not become tamei. Daf Mem Vav. So the Simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes. The don't-eater and minion-seeker who rented cows. Cows? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Vav. The don't-eater and minion-seeker who rented cows for a four-meal journey, which reminds us that 4 meal is the amount of distance that a don't-eater must go to Tovo's customer's tummy kalim. A traveler needs to travel to find a minion and to do Natilas Yadayim, and the amount of time for edible skins to be tanned to lose their status of food and adopting Mekabel Tuma. Now, this is only 4 meal in front. Traveling in the direction with which one came only requires traveling less than a meal. So the don't-eater and minion-seeker who rented cows for a four-meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, which reminds us that there's a three-way machlokes on how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach. Bake, then separate, or put in cold water, or just set aside since it's no longer the owner's dough, but the collective property of the Kohanim. So the don't-eater and minion-seeker who rented cows for a four-meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, and didn't know the chacham behind him couldn't know his designation of challah. Which reminds us that initially the Gemara says that the point of difference between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the mission regarding how to separate challah from tamei dough and Pesach is whether they hold tovas hana mamon. But then the Gemara says that perhaps everybody holds tovas hana in a mamon, and the machlokas is if they hold of hoyo. Rabbi Yezer holds that since he can go to a chacham to annul his designation of challah, it's considered his property even now. And Rabbi Yeshua does not say hoyo, and therefore it's not considered his property, and therefore he can keep it in his possession. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. After baking the lechem upani Erev Yantav or Yantav that falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze. Maze? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Zayin. After baking the lechem upani Erev Yantav or Yantav falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten. Which reminds us, Rabbah asked Rav Chisda that if Midr writes that Tzarchi Shabbos are done in Yantav, and it's only prohibited Midr Rabbanan, why does the baking of the lechem upon him need to occur Erev Yantav if a Yantav falls in Erev Shabbos? Why doesn't it override the prohibitions of Yantav, as we have a rule that the injunction of the Rabbanan, Ashvus, does not apply in the base of Migdash? Rav Chisda answers, Shvus Krova, Hitiru Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. They permitted a Shvus for an immediate purpose, but they didn't permit it for a distant purpose, meaning for the eating of the lechem upon him on the subsequent Shabbos. Rav Chisda points out that Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tana of the Braisa and holds Shvus Rechoka Nami Hitiru. A shvus is permitted for a distant purpose as well. So after baking the lechem upanim Erev Yantav, for a Yantav that falls in Erev Shabbos, The Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, which reminds us where Mari challenged Rav Chista from the first part of the Mishnah, that teaches that the Shtei Alechem, which are offered on Shavuos, are baked Erev Shavuos. Rav Mari asks that if Tzarchi Shabbos may be prepared on Yantiv, the Yomtiv Meyomtiv Mabai, is there any question that one is permitted to prepare for the needs of Yantiv on that very Yantiv? Yet the Mishnah teaches they must be baked the day before. So the Gemara answers that the halach is different there. Damar kral lechem, lechem, v'lo gavo, because the puzzle regarding preparing food on Yantiv says for you, which teaches that you may prepare food on Yantiv only for yourselves, but not for Hashem, meaning the offerings. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamli, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben-Askan, the baking on the Shtei Alechem does override Yantiv, the word lechem is coming to exclude preparing on Yantiv for Nachrim. So after baking the lechem upon Erev Yantiv, for Yantiv falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, resting on top of Daraisa, Muksa wood. Which reminds us, the Rabbah holds that Muksa is a Daraisa based on the Pasuk by Yabi Yomashishi, the Echinu Asher Yaviu, on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring, and its prohibition is from the Pasuk, L'Sasa Komolacha, you shall not do any Molach. Rabbah understands that the Pasuk referring to preparation cannot be referring to cooking and baking, since the Torah states elsewhere that they should cook or bake the man. Rather, the Pasuk commands the people to prepare the man by declaring they'll use it on Shabbos, for otherwise it will be forbidden for use as Muksa. Abai goes on to challenge Rabbah. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff do you know that Rebbe Kiva learns Tam Ki Iker from Geulin Nachrim? That's on Daf. Mem Dalad. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you know that Pasa She'ipsha, a moldy loaf that is inedible to human and is Truma and is Tahor, it can be burned with Tamei Truma even according to Rebbe Yossi? That's on Daf. Mem Hey. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda in the coming regarding the signs that indicate that dough is either siur or siduk? That's on Daf. Memches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you when the Rabbah learns from the Hechinu Asher Yaviu that muksa is a deraisa? That's on Daf. Memzayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn that with basak shebesidka areva, that if there's a kazayas of dough in one place, one is chayav to dispose of it? That's on Daf. Memhei. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we discuss the source that women are prohibited from eating chametz? That's on Daf. Mem Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff does the Gemara say that the Malkus bin Rabbi Yezim reviewed regarding separating chal from Tamei Do on Pesach is whether one holds of hoyil? That's on Daf. Mem Vav. Good. Number 8. Which stuff when the Rabbi Yezim may not hold like rub of hoyil regarding baking on Yantav or Chol, since there's no reason to anticipate the arrival of uninvited guests? That's on Daf. Memches. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn? The reason the Shtei Alechem is baked Erev Shavuos is that we learn from Lechem that one may only prepare food on Yantar for yourselves, but not for the offerings. That's on Daf. Memzayin. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you learn? If one is traveling, has to travel up to 4 meal to find a minion or for Netilas Yadayim. That's on Daf. Memvav. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss the halachas of a removable wheel of a coach, a muchni? That's on Daf. Memdal and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss rules of psak when Tanaim disagree? That's on Daf. Memvav and Erevin. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we learn the 10 requirements for the kosher bracha? That's on Daf. Nunalf and brachas. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.